Thank you for listening to the official podcast of White Oak Pentecostal Holiness Church, where we cultivate true worshipers in Wilson, North Carolina. For more information on White Oak, visit whiteoakphc.com.
We're going to get to that part, but I have to give you an introduction. Some months ago, the Lord spoke to me, and he gave me this mandate. That he said, this is what I want you to do. And he gave me a scripture and a song for that. And the scripture comes out of Philippians, the first chapter. And we'll get to the rest of this message. I won't be before you all. We thank God for everything that has been said here today. We thank God for you being in the house today. And I won't stand between you and food too long. Amen. I understand. Some of y'all are on a feeding schedule. Like the little babies, your stomach starts to growl at a certain time. But we're going to pray that the growling stays low. Amen. It won't be heard too loud. Amen. So I'm going to keep you just long in the Philippians 1 and 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the scripture that the Lord gave me some months ago. And he said, this is the word I want you to tell my people, that I'm doing a great work in you. I'm doing a great work in you. And so when God gave me this message, I told my sister, then the first church she sent me to give this message was called, the name of it was Genesis. He sent me to Genesis to release this message, God's doing a great work in you. Now, what we have to understand is no matter where we are, as long as there's breath, he's doing a great work. And even in the discipline, come on, he's doing a great work. That means God has not finished. His hands are still upon us. So he's doing a great work in us. Many times we're looking for the miraculous, we're looking for the spectacular miracles to happen and not realize that because God's hand is still upon us, the enemy has not taken us out, that God is still doing a great work in us. And he said, this is the message that my church has to understand. That wherever you are right now, where you are right now, whether you're in the door, outside the door, on the other side of the wall, whether you're sick or you're well, have money or no money, come on now. He's doing a great work. It doesn't matter what season you're in, whether spring, summer, winter, fall, it does not matter. God is doing a great work in you. And this is the mindset we have to teach our children. Come on. That wherever they are, whether they A's, B's, C's, or D's, God is still doing a great work in them. Yes. But we cannot teach them if we don't realize ourselves of the greatness of what God is doing in us. Because if the enemy had his way, you would be long gone by now. That last episode would have killed you and taken you out. But because God's hand, how many know there are an appointed number of days? How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. So you're not going to leave one moment sooner or later.
Yeah.
Understand that. You will not leave one moment sooner or later. You will go according to your appointed days. Amen.
Amen.
So every day that you wake up and have breath, that means God has given you another opportunity. opportunity. And it is a great opportunity because everything God does is good and very good.
Yes.
How do we know? Because Genesis told us so.
Oh my God.
Everything God does is good. The fact that you are here today, He's doing a great work in you. That means there are things that God has in His divine purpose that you have not finished. We have unfinished work.
Yeah.
And because we have unfinished work, then God graces us with another day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good, Pastor. That's
good. He graces us with another day because we have unfinished work. And listen, it's not about your perfection or your thinking you're good or you're not good. It's simply the plan and will of God for your life. It's God's plan. He is the author, come on, and the finisher. That means He's the originator, and He brings it to an end. So then He tells us then, don't worry. I've got you. He said, I'm the one who supplies everything you need. I've got you. So that's the umbrella. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, that's the umbrella of the message that God's doing a great work in me. Mm-hmm. So today, what is it that God wants us to understand? Mm-hmm. If you would turn over to the 139th division of Psalms. I won't read it all, but I want to narrate. It's a song of David. I'm sorry, the commercial break. I had to open up his jacket. Oh, it's kind of hot in here. I'm looking outside. She's not there with a jacket on. It's hot in here.
All right.
So y'all didn't want to see me pass up, nor do I want to take it off. Come on. Amen. But it's just a little warmer here, so I did unbutton. Amen. Is that all right?
That's all right.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You gotta learn how to laugh and have fun, amen?
Amen.
It charges our immune system, amen? Amen? Laughter. Amen. We just have to learn how to laugh more, amen?
Amen.
You agree?
Amen.
Okay, with commercial break, on the count of three, we're gonna just laugh, okay? See, y'all didn't know what you're doing. Oh, 1, 2, 3, come on, just laugh. No words are coming, but your head is moving because you're talking to the Lord. And no sooner had the thoughts ended that the mail came in. And there was a card from someone. It was a card written with a whole lot of encouraging words addressing the conversation that I had just had with the Lord. It was a mental conversation that had no words, that I was communicating with the Lord. And in comes the mail with a card, and the writer had addressed the very things that I was talking to the Lord about. It made me thankful and grateful, but it also reminded me that he's attentive to my very thoughts.
Yeah.
He knows what I think before I think it. He knows our thoughts before we think them. There's nothing we can hide from God. We can hide from each other, but we can't hide from God. So he says, you know the words on my tongue before they're even spoken. In verse 4, you know it all. That's what he showed me that day. I know it all. I know what you're thinking. And I've already gone ahead, had somebody days before write some words on a card because I knew you were going to be in a low moment at that moment. Come on. And so it arrived at the appointed time. That's the kind of God we serve.
Yes, it is.
It's not always about money. But he knew I needed encouragement at that moment. So the letter arrived at the moment that I thought it. The power of God, the presence of God, when we trust him and we're honest with him. See, I had to be honest with God about what was going on up here.
Oh my God.
Because I didn't want what was battling up here to get into my heart. So the conversation was going on up here. Because I have authority to cast down, come on, these thoughts and things that arise against the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, against the word that I have the authority to cast it down. But he knew I needed help. So he had someone else to write some words on the card and send it to me to encourage me at that moment. And that's exactly what he did. So he said, you have searched me. You know me. Then verses 7 through 11 said, verse 7 said, where can I go to escape your spirit? You can't go anywhere to escape the presence of God. Because in him there is no darkness. Sure, your darkness is light to him. Come on. When God is there, it's light. Amen. So we might as well, listen church, we might as well be honest when we have those things going on within us. And stop coming in and out these doors acting like everything is okay. When we're bleeding, we're suffering, he did not intend it for us. And when we're honest, it will show up just like my little card did, right on time. That was my deliverance.
Yeah.
That was God meeting me at the point of my need through someone else. Because I was honest enough to have a mental conversation with the Lord because of some thoughts that kept trying to invade my mind space. We have to learn how to be honest. We can't escape his presence. He said, if I make my bed in hell, the highest mountaintop, the deepest depths of the sea, God, you are there. Whether I'm in my dorm room all alone, he's there. Come on. I know about that. Then I also heard Harry Myrick's voice. That was mom. And that is there. And those two combinations were enough. Amen. We cannot escape from him. So then, verses 12 through 16. Verse 12 says, even the darkness is not dark to you, conceals nothing from you, but night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are a light to you. You put me together in the innermost parts of my mother's womb. Verse 14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. How many know God has done a wonderful thing?
Yes.
When he put you together.
Yes.
When he stitched you together. Come on, how many know it's wonderful? It's marvelous. Come on, you have to look in the mirror and not look pat yourself, but say, God, you did a good thing right here. Come on. You did. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, come on, encourage your neighbor right now. Come on, look at him and tell him. I'm telling you, God stitched you together real good. Come on, come on. Look at him and say, God put you together real good. You look good. Amen. Come on, we got to get used to saying that to one another. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So look at another neighbor. Say, God put you together real good. Come on. You look good. There's only one of you. So that means that only you can fulfill your God-given purpose.
That's right.
Only you. Only you. Only you. So Lord, then what are you saying? Then if I understand that God has all of these attributes, if I understand that, then what begins to happen? And if my desire then becomes the desire of God, in other words, verse 19 said, oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God. Go away from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. What the writer began to understand is that because my heart is turned towards God, then the things that God hate, I also hate too. Come on.
Yeah.
The things that God doesn't like, I don't like either. Amen? Because now my will becomes the will of God. My will, thy will be done. It's no longer me, but it's thy will. So I want to get to verse 23. So after all of the verses, we get to 23.
Yeah.
And the psalmist begins to realize that you created me. You made me. You know everything about me. I can't go nowhere. I can't go in the bathroom and sit on the toilet. Come on. And you are there too. How many know God will talk to you in the bathroom? Amen. There's no place I can go. Kids can be knocking on the door. Grandma, grandma, come on. You can't go nowhere. There's nowhere you can escape God. So then the writer says, search me, oh God. Search me. And know my heart. Search me. Remember, he starts out with verse 1 and said, oh Lord, you have searched me. In other words, God, you know me. Then he comes at the end of the psalmist, he said, he comes in agreement with God. And he says, what? Search me. Know my heart. Then he says, test me, try me, and know my anxious thoughts. Come on. How many know you don't know what's in you until you've been tested? You don't know what you can go through until there's a trial that you are tested. But many times we don't understand in the midst of pain and sickness and in the midst of lack and depravity, we don't understand what God is doing. But if you keep your eyes on him, you begin to understand that there is nothing that happens to me that God is not aware of. That if God allowed me to go through it, that he's in the middle of it with me. I begin to understand that God has given me the authority, the power that I can go through. I can tread on serpents and they shall not bite me. He said, you're laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. I begin to understand that God in me is greater than the whole world against me. I understand a little more now that I've gotten a little older. Got pain in my body. Got a knee easily replaced. Hallelujah. But I keep right on moving. Why? Because begin to show me that this is an affliction.
Yeah.
It's an affliction.
Uh-huh.
I had an appointment earlier this year to go to the doctor to see if I can get a little further. They called me and said, the doctor won't be in. You have to reschedule. I said, okay, God, what are you seeing here? Because I heard him months and months ago. He said, this time, it's going to be different. And even though there are times when the intensity of the pain seems almost unbearable, he reminds me, this time, it's going to be different.
It's going to be different.
This time. So what then is the purpose of the affliction?
My God.
What then? Why, God, would you have me to go and lay hands on others and make it all right? Why then, God, do you have me pray for others and they get their deliverance and relief? Why then, God, have I not been? Come on. Why, God, do I still have this affliction? And he came back and told me, it's for my glory. It's for my glory. Well, I understand a little more now that if I have to live some days, it's for the glory of God. Sometimes there's pain in my body, but I keep right on going because it's for the glory of God. What shall separate me from the love of God? It's not your co-workers. It's not your family.
none of them. Because God said, while I'm dealing with them, while I'm dealing with them,
yes,
I got to get some stuff out of you, too. I know they did you wrong.
Yes.
And I know you want vengeance. But you did some stuff too. Because you didn't reflect my glory.
Oh, my God.
You didn't reflect me when you said those things with evil intent in your heart. Come on, can we get to the root of it?
Yes, yes.
Can we get to the root of it? Today it doesn't matter about your title. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what you have. He is the one who knows you intimately. And he is the God who knows your thoughts. Just as that letter arrived, when I was thinking, I was burdened. I was kind of heavy down, lady. And he sent a letter written by someone who he moved upon. And it arrived at the moment that I needed it. That's the kind of God. He is so attentive to the little things in our lives. See, the knee gonna be all right. I understand that. But God, it's the little things that he helps me to respond in love when others may talk about you, say this and that. But God will allow me to love them, listen, with a genuine love. I'm not talking about something where you're trying to love them. Because while I'm trying to love them, this is what I do. I said, God, you got to help me here. Because I'm struggling. When I see the individual, God, I still feel a little something rise up. See, I'm just kind of honest with God. God, you know something? I still feel a little something. So you still got to help me here. I'm honest. This is my conversation. You still got to help me. Look, it's been 6 months. I see him again. Look, oh, God, you know, I thought I was a little bit. One of the most dramatic things I experienced, God. I share this sometimes in women's conferences and fellowship. But when we moved back here to North Carolina,
yes,
we rented an apartment. And I was not working at the time, and my husband was working in Raleigh at the time, and we've been having a few issues. And that particular day, I said, God, that's okay. I'm gonna get free of this, cause I don't like things that separate me from you. I don't like stuff to get in the relationship. So I took that day, got a house cleaned, did all the laundry. And I said, God, I'm gonna lay before you all day. I'm gonna lay before you as long as it takes. So I just got my word and started praying and laying out, stretched out. And I prayed and talked with the Lord all day long. And, you know, just feeling really good in my spirit. And I was sitting at the table in the kitchen. And I heard the key go in the door. And the key turned. I felt that demon say, right back where he was before. There was my husband coming home. And as soon as the key turned, that demon was standing there waiting. And I felt the heaviness say, back on me again. And I had to cry. I had to cry for real. I had to cry for real. I couldn't pretend no more. Come on. See, all day long I was doing the churchy stuff.
Yeah.
But my heart won't in it.
Ah, my God.
It didn't reach my heart.
Yeah. Ah, go ahead.
See, it was in mine, but my heart hadn't been changed. Come on.
Yes.
Come on. It was up here, but it hadn't gone down to my heart. So my heart still had some issues that I was harboring about certain things towards my spouse. And that grieved me so bad. I said, God, I gotta get real. I cannot pretend no more. This was years ago. But I remember that feeling When they said, whoo, he was standing there waiting for me to give him an opportunity to get back home. And this is how many times when we are not sincere and honest with God, the change I want to see must first begin in me. So I have to surrender. God told me, I got him. It's you. And this is what I'm after in you. So I just learned that when I still feel some residue, I'm not giving it another opportunity. Because I have learned the power of God is greater. And I choose him any day. Amen.
Amen.
The change that I want in my life. You have to make a decision today.
Amen.
You have to make a decision. He didn't bring you here just to have good food. See family. I guarantee you, if you will be honest with God, there is something that God has been talking to you. Some of you for years. Some of you could be a moment. But you already know the areas in your life that God has been sending messages. He be having children prophesying to you. Come on. Come on, even little children coming up talking to you. How many know that problem? Even the children. You know that. Does it take someone who doesn't know you? Come up to you and say, thus says the Lord? Or do you want to hear God call your name and say, daughter, come over here, I need to talk. When he wakes you gently at night, say, come on over here, write this down. Son, I've been wanting to spend a little more time with you, but you've been so busy. He said, can you come over here and so that we can just talk. Can you talk? Come on. In missing, we don't have to do all the talking. But learn how to listen in the presence of God. And listen, stop waiting till you're wore out tired. Stop waiting till you're so broken down from the cares of the day, the time you sit down, that you're falling asleep. But spend some quality time. I didn't say how much time, but make it quality, whatever you do. In the presence of the Lord, and I guarantee you, you will hear the voice of God clearer. You will hear his voice clearer, and he will call you by name. Why? Because he knows you. And he's saying, this is the pathway. This is what I desire for your life. When we left Spokane, Washington, God gave me a vision. And coming back to Wilson, North Carolina. And in that vision, some things have happened along the way that have been fulfilled. But from 1996 is when we got back here until now, all those things have not been fulfilled. One of the things that God showed me, and this is concerning his church, and to the leaders and pastors here, God said, I have a remnant in the land who loves me. They spend time with me. And they love to be in my presence. They have been seeking my face and not my hand. So he said, for the appointed time, there is a remnant that I'm calling forth. And the remnant that comes forth will go forth with power and authority. And he said, the signs and wonders shall follow them. Understand me. God showed me this vision back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. He said, the signs and wonders shall follow. They will lay hands on the dead. Mm-hmm. the spiritually dead, the ones who were physically, he said they will raise them up. You understand me? God said, this is what shall be happening in my church. In my church. We call it the unusual. God said, you got to get to the place where this is normal in my church. This is the norm in my church, that those that come in who need healing don't go out the same way in my church. So he's calling forth the remnant that don't have the particular titles, that are not necessarily well known, but simply love God. And he said there will be remnant connecting with remnant in my name that will change the land. So I encourage you, remnant of God, that you are ready. You are empowered. Don't be afraid for the unusual.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, it won't be the norm, but it shall be the unusual. Because then you will know that it was the hand of God moving in the midst. Remnant to remnant, regardless of what room you sit on, from the front to the back, the remnant of God, it will stir you up even now. Because you're saying, that's what I've been hearing. That's the unction that I have. So when he unctioned you to go to someone you don't even know, and they're in that wheelchair, come on.
Yeah.
God said, you're going to pray for them, and I'm going to raise them up. You will pray for them, God will raise them up. When the one who's about to commit suicide, come on. God said, you're going to go and speak a word that's going to save him for the abuse and hurting, because you understand and you have been through. God said, I'll use you that you will bring healing to others. See, everything you've been through is to the glory of God. So now God wants the remnant to stand up. And he said, I am the one who gives you the authority.
Yeah.
I am the one who empowers you.
Yeah.
It's not by might,
yeah,
but it's by my spirit,
yeah,
said the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm the one who will fill you up with the authority and power. To the remnant, I encourage you. Go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 To the remnant. To the house of God. The change I want to see must first begin with me.
Once again, all of us here at White Oak, thank you for listening. God bless.